Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Tuesday morning. It's January the 25th, 2022. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We're almost through the first month of 2022. As I kept saying last year, and will probably say a lot this year, time just keeps flying by, doesn't it? When time starts going fast, it's when you get out of high school. It's like when you get out of high school, time downshifts and floors it. And I think it has to do with the percentage of your life that a year is. At my age, a year is less than 2% of my life. When you're 20, a year is 5% of your life. When you're 10, a year is 10% of your life. So I think it has to do with the percentage of time in your overall life that a year is. Because I look back on high school and I think those 4 years were long. And I think about, it seemed like forever between Thanksgiving and Christmas when you're that age, junior high and high school. And you look back at it now and, we just had Christmas. It was a month ago today. It was Christmas. It's already been a month. And it's just, that's just amazing. And it seems like just a couple of weeks ago was Thanksgiving. So it moves quickly. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. It's there and it's gone. And the older I get, the more true I see that to be. And so knowing that, I would urge you to be reconciled to God. Repent of your sin and believe the gospel. Do it right now if you have never done it. I would urge you. Your life is shorter than you think, and it's not getting any longer. So everybody thinks about, medical science. We got people living to 110, 120 years old. I think the oldest man in America just died last week at 112. Obviously, there's a new oldest man in America, but the thing of it is, no. Think about this. Before the flood, you had people living 800-900 years. Our lives are much shorter. They were living 800-900 years with relatively little medical care. And all that modern science can do is maybe prop you up to 110. And by the time you get to 110, you're not hiking and fishing and living life. Now, there's nothing wrong with sitting in a chair and reading if your mental faculties are still there. Or even sitting in a chair and watching TV if you're able to absorb and enjoy what you're watching. But it's not an active life. You're not skiing, you're not hunting, you're not fishing, you're not hiking, you're not going to football games, you're not certainly not playing football. Although Tom Brady may still be trying at that point. But anyway, life is going by. Make sure you are right with God before you do anything else. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. I urge you to go on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great podcasts over there. They are curated. They are doctrinally sound. You are going to find something that's entertaining, something that's informative. Head on over there and find something to listen to that's probably going to do you much more good than listening to Fox News. Although I do that sometimes too. All right, well, we are reading through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible. We have checked off 3 weeks. We are starting the second day of our fourth week. And I love seeing all those check marks on the top of the page as we are moving down the left-hand column. As I check off the Bible readings each day, gives me such a great sense of accomplishment. So grab your Bible, and today's scriptures are going to be Genesis chapter 43 and 44, Psalm 24, and Galatians 1. And after we do our Bible reading today, we're going to do a little bit of Monday meandering on Tuesday, because yesterday we were dealing with the longer ending of Mark, because we were finishing up in Mark, and I didn't want to wait that a day before launching into that explanation. So have a sip of coffee, grab your Bible. We're going to be we're going to be reverently coming before God with the prayers from the Book of Common Prayer, and then we will be beginning into our Bible reading today. And so our prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis chapter 43, again reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. Now the famine was heavy in the land, and it happened, when they had finished eating the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, "Go back and buy us a little food." Judah spoke to him, however, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you do not send him, we will not go down, for the man said to us, 'You will not see my face unless your brother is with you.'" Then Israel said, "Why do you treat me so badly by telling me the man whether you still had another brother?" But they said, "The man questioned particularly about us and our kin, saying, 'Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' So we told him concerning these things. Could we possibly have known that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'?" Then Judah said to his father Israel, "Send the boy with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, we as well as you and our little ones. I myself will be the guarantee for him. For my hand you may require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then I shall bear the sin before you all my days. For if we had not delayed, surely by now we could have returned twice." Then their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best products of the land in your bags, and bring them down to the man as a present, a little balm and a little honey, aromatic gum and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Now take double the money in your hand, and take back in your hand the money that was put back in the mouth of your sack. Perhaps it was a mistake. And take your brother also, and arise, return to the man, and may God Almighty grant you compassion before the man, so that he will release to you your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." So the men took this present, and they took double the money in their hand, and Benjamin, and they arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Then Joseph saw Benjamin with them and said to his house steward, "Bring the men into the house and slay an animal and prepare it, for the men are to eat with me at noon." So the man did as Joseph said and brought the men to Joseph's house, and the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house. And they said, "It is because of the money that was returned in our sacks the first time that we are being brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for slaves with our donkeys." So they came near to Joseph's house steward and spoke to him at the entrance of the house. And they said, "Oh, my lord, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, and it happened when we came to the lodging place that we opened our sacks, and behold, each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full. So we have brought it back in our hand. We have also brought down other money in our hand to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. And he said, be well, do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. Your money has come to me. Then he brought Simeon out to them. Then the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water. And they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys fodder. So they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they had heard that they were to eat a meal there. Then Joseph came home, and they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand, and bowed to the ground before him. And he asked them about their well-being, and said, is your old father well, of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? And they said, your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive. They bowed down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. And he said, is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, may God be gracious to you, my son. And Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred with compassion over his brother. And he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And he restrained himself and said, set the meal. So they set the meal for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in astonishment. And he took portions to them from his own table, but Benjamin's portion was five times greater than any of theirs. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Chapter 44. Then he commanded his house steward, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Now put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his money for the grain. And he did as Joseph had told him. As the morning light broke, the men were sent away, they with their donkeys. Now they had just gone out of the city and were not far off when Joseph said to his house steward, arise, pursue the men. You shall overtake them and say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks and which he indeed uses to interpret omens? You have done evil in doing this. So he overtook them and spoke these words to them. And they said to him, why does my Lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing. Behold, the money which we found in the mouth of our sack we have brought back to you from the land of Canaan. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. So he said, now let it be according to your words. Let it also be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, but the rest of you shall be innocent. Then they hurried, each man brought his sack down to the ground, and each man opened his sack. So he searched, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. Then Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there. So they fell to the ground before him, and Joseph said to them, what is this deed that you have done? Do you not know that such a man as I can indeed interpret omens? So Judah said, what can we say, my lord? What can we speak? And how can we justify ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Behold, we are my lord's slaves, both we and the one in whose possession the cup has been found. But he said, far be it from me to do this. The man in whose possession the cup has been found, he shall be my slave. But as for you, go up in peace to your father. Then Judah came near to him and said, O my lord, may your servant please speak a word in my lord's ears, and do not be angry with your servant, for you are equal to Pharaoh. My lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my lord, we have an old father and a little child, and the little child of his old age. Now his brother is dead, so he alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my lord, the boy cannot leave his father. If he should leave his father would die. You said to your servants, however, if your youngest brother does not come down with you, you will not see my face again. Thus it happened that when we went up to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my lord, and our father said, go back, buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother is not with us. Then we will go down, for we cannot see the man's face if our youngest brother is not with us. And your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. If you take this one also from me, and harm befalls him, you will bring my gray hair down to Sheol in evil. So now, when I come to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, and his life is bound up with the boy's life, so it will be that when he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. Thus your servants will bring the gray hair of your servant, our father, down to Sheol in sorrow. For your servant became a guarantee of the boy to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the sin before my father all my days. So now, please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a slave to my lord, and let the boy go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the boy is not with me, lest I see the evil that would overtake my father? The 24th Psalm. The earth is Yahweh's as well as its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the mountain of Yahweh, and who may rise in his holy place? He who has innocent hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to worthlessness, and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall lift up a blessing from Yahweh and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Pay heed, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahweh, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift yourselves up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? Yahweh of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to the gospel we have proclaimed to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is proclaiming to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a slave of Christ. For I make known to you, brothers, that the gospel which I am proclaiming as good news is not according to men. For I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being far more zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who had set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might proclaim him as good news among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and staying with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now in what I am writing you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea which are in Christ, but only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now proclaiming the good news of the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they were glorifying God because of me. This is the word of the Lord. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, sorry for the stumbling reading this morning. Just couldn't seem to wrap my eyes around the words. I don't like that word. I'll make up my own word. Sorry for that. I'm just stumbling today. And I had plenty of sleep last night. Yesterday I was tired. Today I have plenty of sleep, but I still have trouble reading. Well, we didn't have a Monday meandering yesterday because, like I said, I had to deal with the longer ending of Mark and talk a little bit about textual criticism and textual variance and this and that. And I thought it was important to do that right as we finished Mark, so it was fresh in everybody's mind. But I do have a couple of topics I want to talk on Monday meanderings, and so we're going to do Monday meanderings on Tuesday this week. And I just have a few topics I want to talk about. The first one is Russia and the Ukraine and America's promises. I don't know what's going to happen in the Ukraine. It's sure looking like that Putin is going to invade the Ukraine. He's got troops massing on the border. And now NATO is moving troops into Eastern Europe. I understand we have a carrier task force or two in the Mediterranean standing by. There's talk about moving troops into Ukraine. We've, already delivered some aid in the form of weapons and equipment to the Ukrainian military. It's not looking good. And we have not, we've had conflict and war, but since Vietnam, we haven't really had a head-to-head confrontation with the Eastern Bloc, our old adversaries in the Cold War. We had And all of the wars that we've had have been proxy wars. We were fighting in, we actually came in contact with Chinese troops in Korea, because Chinese troops actually defended North Korea. And that's, in a lot of ways, the closest we ever came to the Third World War. And I can see ways in which a conflict in the Ukraine could lead to a wider conflict. The thought of Russian troops and American troops exchanging fire directly is frightening. Because while Russia is not the power that the former Soviet Union was, it's certainly still a large and powerful country, and they still have nuclear weapons. And nobody wants a nuclear war. Nobody wants a nuclear war. Having said that, I remember when the Soviet Union collapsed. And in the post-Soviet East, in the Soviet satellites, such as Ukraine, where there were a great deal of nuclear weapons from the Soviet days, you know, Soviet nuclear weapons left in the Ukraine when the Soviet Union collapsed, in order to get Ukraine to give up those weapons, America made promises to defend the Ukraine. You won't need those nuclear weapons. We will back you up. We have nuclear weapons. We will defend your country. And these promises were made primarily by the Clinton administration as we negotiated with the Ukraine to give up their nuclear weapons, which were then destroyed. So now, for the last 30 years, Ukraine has not been a nuclear power. Well, sometime during the Obama administration, I don't have the date in front of me, Putin's Russia, and understand, Putin, Vladimir Putin is a former KGB operative, not a diehard communist, but certainly a nationalist and very much a corrupt person. There's all sorts of stories about how he used the Soviet system to make himself wealthy. And then when the Soviet Union collapsed, he was very active in consolidating his wealth and growing it in the early days of the free-for-all capitalism, if that's even the right term, the rampant greed that followed the collapse of the Soviet Union, when all sorts of business interests in the former Soviet Union were unscrupulous in their pursuit of profit. And he was involved in that. Then he got involved in politics and has been involved in Russian politics for years. And he wants, I think it's quite clear that Putin wants to reestablish Russia. He doesn't want the communism of the Soviet Union. He doesn't want the economics of the Soviet Union. But he does want the power and prestige of the Soviet Union. He wants Russia to be hugely dominant. Now, Russia is dominant, but they haven't been as dominant as the Soviet Union was. And there are certain former Soviet possessions that he's always wanted back. And so back during the Obama administration, they seized the Crimean Peninsula, which was part of Ukraine. And we did nothing. Well, we have right now a very, very weak administration. And I think anybody with eyes and an honest brain knows that. And because of that, Russia wants to take advantage of America's weak administration to finish their conquest of Ukraine that began when they took Crimea. And just east of there, it's looking more and more like Communist China wants to do the same thing with Taiwan. So we are in very interesting times in a geopolitical sense. This could touch off a major war. And because we haven't had total war since World War II. And we had, you know, Korea and Vietnam. We've had Afghanistan and Iraq. The Russians in the 80s had Afghanistan. We had a little bit more success than they did until we just decided to throw our hands up and walk out. But there hasn't been a direct conflict between world powers since World War II. And thinking back on the beginning of World War II, you know, are we going to have a Neville Chamberlain moment? Are American diplomats going to get together with Putin and give him Ukraine in exchange for promises of peace? Peace in our times. What about Taiwan? What about China? This is why we need a strong military. This is why we need resolve in the White House. Because if we were as strong as we should be, and if we were as resolved as we would be, I do not believe Russia or China would test us. But because we have a weak administration, then the possibility exists that in their brains, they're like, the United States isn't going to do anything. Oh, there'll be posturing. There'll be some economic sanctions, this and that and the other thing, but they're not really going to do anything. And that may be true. And if that's true, then China gets Taiwan, Russia gets Crimea, and everybody starts thinking, huh, well, if America didn't do anything there, they're not going to do anything over here. And so at what point do we stand up and say no more? You know, it's, you know, just looking at it as a historian and thinking about what's going on, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for sanity to prevail. But at the same time, I mean, we can't just let the Ukraine go. We made promises. This is the thing. We made a lot of promises to our allies in Afghanistan that the Biden administration broke with the way they pulled out of Afghanistan. Are they going to break the promises that we made to Ukraine? Are they going to break the promises that we made to Taiwan? We've got 40, 50 years of promises to Taiwan. Ever since, when did the communists take over China? I want to say it was in the late 40s, early 50s. And Taiwan was the free, you know, they took the island of Formosa, and that was the free Chinese. And we've promised, and we have, you know, made every indication for decades that we will defend Taiwan against Chinese aggression. But will we? And if we don't, it's going to be bad for Taiwan. I, 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 still weep when I look at Hong Kong. I remember saying that Britain should never give Hong Kong back to China. The Hong Kong people said, don't give us back to China. There was multiple referendums and polls where the Hong Kong people begged Britain to keep Hong Kong. And it didn't happen. So these are interesting times. And how are we going to look back on the first decades of the 21st century in the future? Now, I'm not worried about nuclear war wiping out mankind. I know how history ends, and that's not it. But we're also told that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And there could be even atomic exchanges. So I don't think humanity is going to be wiped out, but a good portion of them could be. Which would make the people who think the Earth's overpopulated happy, I guess. Unless they're living in one of the cities that gets nuked. I mean, are we going to have a Pearl Harbor? Or are we going to have a... What kind of incident is going to set this off? If Putin's troops roll into Ukraine tomorrow, what's going to happen? And China keeps making incursions into Taiwanese airspace. They're flying military aircraft closer and closer and closer to Taiwan all the time, and having troops, you know, having ships in the area. So we've got a couple of hot spots right now, with Ukraine in Central Europe and Taiwan in the east, and we're looking at there are three superpowers in the world, really. Russia, China, and the United States. And so we're staring at Russia over here, and we're staring at China over there, and either one could go bad. And what happens if they both go off at the same time? So all I can say is I wish we had somebody different in the White House. And I don't know who that somebody is. I don't think that we would be having these problems if Trump was in there. But I don't know if Trump is the person I'd want handling a war. I kind of wish I had Ronald Reagan back. I always wish I had Ronald Reagan back. I miss Ronald Reagan. Greatest president of my lifetime, without a doubt, was Ronald Wilson Reagan. And a good man to boot. All right, so now let's get on a happier note. You can eat bugs if you want, but I'll stick with beef, thank you. The environmentalist movement, in order to combat global warming, is pushing a bug-based diet. That insect protein is going to replace animal protein. That bug meat will replace beef, and I'm like, no, not going to happen on my table. Luckily, I live here in the sparsely populated mountains of Western Montana, where I can always go shoot a deer and obtain my own protein that way. I also have friends who have cattle, and I know of a couple of bison ranches near here. I'm not too worried about not getting my meat. But if you live in New York or LA, you might be getting bug patties on your burger pretty soon. And the push for this is because apparently they're contention is that bugs do not cause the amount of global warming emissions that cattle do. So basically they're back on the whole cow flatulence being a problem thing. So I'm not going to eat bugs. Now, understand, I have eaten bugs. I took survival courses that we were required to eat bugs. I first ate bugs on a survival course with U.S. Army Rangers when I was 8 or 9, Fort Benning, Georgia. So I've eaten bugs. And I understand that anything that walks, crawls, or flies is edible. And if it's a survival situation, I'll eat whatever I need to eat to stay alive. But I'm not going to go into a restaurant and order a bug burger. Rat burger? According to Sylvester Stallone, rat's not bad. If you haven't seen Demolition Man, it's a great scene. Rat burger. This is a rat burger. It's not bad. It's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. But yeah, I don't want to have bugs. Now, like I said, there's nothing wrong with eating bugs, and I understand that in certain areas of Asia and India, that like fried grasshoppers and stuff are a snack like popcorn, and certainly look crunchy. And I'd try it. It looks like they put all sorts of spices on it and stuff. I'd try it. I won't quite eat everything that Phil Johnson eats, but I'll try, deep fried bugs. But no, I don't see the bug protein industry, being real popular in the United States. We admire the cowboy too much. We want cattle drives. We want to take our herd to market, and we want to have a nice big steak on our plate. And that's why I'm very, very happy that I live in a post-Genesis 9 world where God has said that all the animals are food for us. And that's the way it should be. All the animals are food for us. And I guess that includes bugs. But I don't need to have bugs in my diet. All right. Well, that's Monday meandering today, or on Tuesday. I need to clean my office today. First, I need to clean this desk. You can't see it. The camera angle is carefully chosen. You cannot see my desk and the piles of stuff I need to deal with that are on my desk. And you cannot see the floor behind me where I have stacks of books, a backpack, an Amazon Prime mailing label envelope that probably had a book in it, and just a pile of, oh gosh, over here I got a bunch of computer cords and all sorts of stuff. I really need to clean this office. So I think after I have some more coffee and after I have some breakfast, I'm going to get busy cleaning in here. I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday as well. Whatever you do, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here next time for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.